I tried the combination of upper and lowercase letters that had worked the first time. Sub. A prompt flashed on the screen. Input telephone number. I folded my arms and let my eyes take in this new message. Not bad. I had succeeded in opening two doors in Cinnamon's labyrinth. No, not bad at all. Zoo and sub would do it. I clicked on exit and returned to the main menu, then chose shutdown, which brought up the following options. Record procedures in operations file, yes or no. As instructed by Ushikawa, I chose no to avoid leaving a record of the procedures I had just executed. The screen quietly died. I wiped the sweat from my forehead. After checking to be certain that I had left the keyboard and mouse exactly as I had found them, I moved away from the now cold monitor. 20. Nutmeg Story. Nutmeg Akasaka took several months to tell me the story of her life. It was a long, long story with many detours, so that what I am recording here is a very simplified, though not necessarily short, summary of the whole. I cannot claim with confidence that it contains the essence of her story, but it should at least convey the outline of important events that occurred at crucial points in her life. Nutmeg and her mother escaped from Manchuria to Japan, their only valuables the jewelry they were able to wear on their bodies. They traveled up from the port of Sasebo to Yokohama to stay with the mother's family, which had long owned an import-export business dealing primarily with Taiwan. Prosperous before the war, they had lost most of their business when Japan lost Taiwan. The father died of heart disease, and the family's second son, who had been second in command, was killed in an air raid just before the war ended. The eldest son left his teaching post to carry on the family business, but his temperament did not suit a life of commerce, and he was unable to recoup the family fortunes. They still had their comfortable house and land, but it was not a pleasant place for Nutmeg and her mother to live as extra mouths to feed during those straitened post-war years. They were always at pains to keep their presence as unobtrusive as possible, taking less than the others at mealtimes, waking earlier than the others each morning, taking on a greater share of the household chores. Every piece of clothing the young Nutmeg wore was a hand-me-down from her older cousins, gloves, socks, even underwear. For pencils, she collected the others' cast-off stubs. Just waking up in the morning was painful to her. The thought that a new day was starting was enough to make her chest hurt. She wanted to get out of this house, to live alone with her mother somewhere where they didn't always have to feel constrained, even if it meant living in poverty. But her mother never tried to leave. "My mother had always been an active person," said Nutmeg, "but after we escaped from Manchuria she was like an empty shell. It was as if the very strength to go on living had evaporated from inside her." She could no longer rouse herself to anything. All she could do was tell Nutmeg over and over about the happy times they used to have. This left Nutmeg to find for herself the resources to go on living. Nutmeg did not dislike studying as such, but she had almost no interest in the courses they offered in high school. She couldn't believe that it would do her any good to stuff her head full of historical dates or the rules of English grammar or geometric formulas. What she wanted more than anything was to learn a useful skill and make herself independent as soon as possible. Her concerns were quite different from her classmates' comfortable enjoyment of school life. The only thing she cared about was fashion. Her mind was filled with thoughts of clothing from morning to night. Not that she had the wherewithal to dress in style. She could only read and reread the fashion magazines she managed to find, and to fill notebooks with drawings of dresses in imitation of those she found in the magazines, or clothes she had dreamed up herself. She had no idea what it was about the fancy dresses that so captivated her. Perhaps, she said, it came from her habit of always playing with the huge wardrobe that her mother had in Manchuria. Her mother was a genuine clothes horse. She had had more kimonos and dresses than room in their chests to store them, and the young Nutmeg would always pull them out and touch them whenever she had a chance. Most of those dresses and kimonos had to remain in Manchuria when the two of them left, and whatever they were able to stuff into rucksacks, they had to exchange along the way for food. Her mother would spread out the next dress to be traded, and sigh over it before letting it go.
Designing clothes was my secret door to a different world, said Nutmeg.